Hey guys, welcome to the I Can Relate podcast. I'm Rebecca Miller. Hey guys, I am so glad to be back on the podcast. It has been a minute, and really just getting the equipment out, getting my computer out. I just am like, oh, I miss this. So thanks for bearing with me as I've taken a little bit of a break, but I am so excited to be back today. And I actually have a guest who is also a very dear friend, and her name is Rachel Hockett. And I have gotten to know Rachel through where we currently live here in Maryland and our church, Rosedale. And she teaches a ladies like small group class on Sunday mornings, and it's fantastic. And she really dives into the Word of God, and she really studies the Word of God. And she is such an encouragement, and I think you will be encouraged today on the podcast. So Rachel, I am so glad that you're here, and we are finally doing it.
I know. We've been talking about it for a really long time.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, wow, like, it's finally here. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah. You know? What are we going to talk about?
Right.
Well, today we're going to talk about a lot of cool and great things. But one of them is, before we get started into all the great things, because Rachel has a lot of wisdom, is I want you to talk about what your favorite, because we're getting into the holiday season.
Yes.
And so I feel like in the holidays, it's like so crazy, and we like pack it, and then we're all like really worn out
right.
from the holiday or even during the holiday, and it becomes, as we all know, stressful.
Right.
And so maybe unpack for us in this little icebreaker here of just some things that you and your family do, like with your kids. She's like me, she has two kids, and they are?
Eli is 9 and Everly is 3. So there's a little bit of an age gap as far as, you know, the activities that we do with the family right now. But they all have fun. And one of the things that we have done even before we had Everly was every year we go and we try to find an ornament that means something special for that year.
Oh,
so
awesome.
And like for Eli, when he was little, he really liked the songs The Wheels on the Bus. So we actually went and found at the place we always go to, can I say like the name of the, I can say the
yeah.
name of the store, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Because
okay,
so we're not
podcast
like sponsored.
And she's like, am I, well, they're not sponsored.
I know, right?
So, I believe so.
Yeah. There's no like rivalry, like sponsorship.
Yes.
But we go to Valley View Farms, and they have every type of Christmas ornament you could ever imagine.
Nice.
So we actually found, yeah, it's amazing. And we found this little school bus. So like that was that year. And I usually put like the date of it. So as I, you know, the years go by and we put up the Christmas tree, like all these special ornaments that kind of represent like what they were into, or it just brings back memories of that year or even them as they grow up.
That is so cool. I really like that. Really, that's very inspiring.
And it's fun because then we get to think like, okay, what's the Christmas ornaments going to be this year?
Yeah.
You know, what are they really into, or what, you know, are they interested in, or a memory of something that happened that year? It's like, okay, you know, obviously the year we found out we were having a girl, we got like it's a girl one, you know. So
yeah,
it's just neat. It, you know, putting up the Christmas tree is always fun. Even though over the past few years with a toddler, all the nice ornaments have to go to the very top.
And or then, just don't buy any breakables.
Yeah, right? So, like, all the nice ones go to the top. And then throughout the season, like, I think it was last year or the year before, it's like slowly all the ornaments started to gravitate to the top of the tree. So there was like no ornaments at the bottom where she could reach. But I think this year is going to be really fun. I mean, she's 3.
Yeah,
she's older. I think she's a really big help. So she'll want to help decorate.
And her daughter is a nut. I have to interject. Her daughter is a nut. She's so funny.
She's a nut.
So you have to tell really quick. So we all went together. We went with her family and then her other like extended family, and we went trick-or-treating together. So you have to tell about your daughter.
Yeah.
She's 3 about her costume, and you have to know her personality. So
yes.
You gotta give a little bit of her personality.
So she's very the first words are strong-willed. She's very strong-willed. She's very independent. She is her own thinker. And she also changes her mind a lot. And so, obviously, as a 3-year-old, and she's entitled to do that. But we're going through the weeks before Halloween, and it's like, Everly, what do you want to be for Halloween? And it would change every once in a while. And then she said one day, the Hawk. I'm like, the Hawk? Like, we aren't even into superheroes at our house. So I'm like, okay, the Hulk? Nice. So, of course, I got on the phone and I started texting everyone I knew. I texted you, like, who has little boys that have a Hulk costume? Because I am not buying a Hulk costume and then having to return it when she doesn't decide to wear it. Because I thought for sure she would change her mind again. So I found the Hulk costume. We borrowed it from a friend. And I just kind of waited for the day to come. I was like, she's not going to put it on. Well, sure enough, she was still so excited to be the Hulk. And I thought, okay, we're just going to take this one moment at a time. She's going to put it on. She'll probably change her mind. But we got to my parents' house where we met everyone for trick-or-treating. And I thought, she's going to see her cousin in her Elsa costume. And then she's going to want to be a princess. And I'm just like bracing for it. And she embraced the Hulk the entire night. Like, she owned it. Yeah. And she walked around being the Hulk with like the big foam fist. And I think even wrestled with some of the boys because she had those big foam fists. And she just and completely embraced it.
Like, don't wrestle. Yeah. Like, though she's wearing a Hulk costume. Right. Don't wrestle with her. She's still a girl to my boys.
Yeah. She's still three. But she, she did not care. Funny. And even I think, you know, she wore the mask for a little bit, like on top of her head. Yeah. And it was dark and she was walking around with my nephew. And when they would come up to a few driveways, they'd be like, oh, look at these cute little boys. And she'd be like, I'm a girl, right? Like, putting them in their, you know, in their place. But just very confident.
Yeah.
That's been fun to parent that.
She's really, I can see her personality and I don't even hang out much, like, around her.
Yeah.
Just like when we have you guys over here and there. Right. And I love it. Yeah, she reminds me of, like, the Miss Congeniality movie where the little girl is on the playground and she's, like, talking to the boy. And then he was, like, saying something back to her that she didn't like. Yeah. And so she just turned around and slugged him.
Yeah, we've actually been saying that, I feel like, since she was, like, 15 months old, that we do not worry about her. Like, she will take care of herself. Yeah. Like, she has no problem sticking up for herself. Yeah. So,
awesome.
Which is a good trait to have.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Yeah. And, of course, this trait, again, comes from
her daddy, definitely. I mean, I think I have a little bit of a streak of, like, you know,
sure,
being independent, but her strong-willed, stubborn nature, I'll do it on my own, I think she has to claim that from her father.
Her father, Adam. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And her husband's name is Adam. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is so funny. So anyway, I had to kind of detour off of our little icebreaker just because that just triggered, you know, the memory with her and the Hulk when you were talking about
maybe we'll have to get a Hulk Christmas ornament this
that
year.
That would be,
there you go.
That's very fitting.
Right. Like, perfect. That way we'll remember.
Yeah. That's awesome. So anything else that you want to share
with
us?
That we do during the holidays.
Yeah. That just maybe something that keeps the holiday simple, but yet, like the ornament, it's simple, but it has meaning and it's a great little idea.
Yeah. I mean, I think traditions like that are something, like, to keep them simple and to be able to, you know, look forward to that and not to put so much pressure on what you do. Like, I think last year what we did, and it was really fun and simple, was we had movie night, and just like with us four, my husband and the two kids, and we had the glow in the Christmas tree and we pulled the mattresses down.
Oh, that's
and so
cool.
We pushed all the furniture off to the side and we had an air mattress and my son's twin size mattress and we kind of pulled everything downstairs and set it up with like pillows and blankets. And we like this family movie night where if they fell asleep, then we kind of just we had this like family sleepover, right? And we had our PJs and the snacks and the popcorn and the Christmas movie, like I said, with the glow of the Christmas tree. And it was free and very relaxed. And if they fell asleep, they fell asleep. If they didn't watch the whole movie, they didn't watch the whole movie. But I think, you know, sometimes we want to create these perfect memories and we think we have to put so much pressure on them to be perfect. And
Money.
Or like money. Really right. We have to take them here or take them there. Yeah. And I think that pressure takes away the joy of just those simple memories that you can make for free in your living room.
Yeah.
You know, so I like stuff like that where we don't have to go, above and beyond during this stressful season, because then you, even traffic, you know, and being out in the crowds or waiting in line for Santa, like, oh my gosh, like, again, asking my three-year-old to wait in line for Santa, and she may not sit on his lap anyway. So it's like taking, like, I took off that pressure a long time ago of, like, that perfect picture with Santa. Like, if that memory doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
I think I have one or two pictures of, and I think it was more Miles, but it was, the boys were little. It was like two and almost, or two and one. And literally, Miles is on his lap screaming.
Right.
And Marcus is like, this is great. Right. You know, but Miles is like, who is this person? I don't know.
Right.
Why has my mom handed me off
this stranger?
And, you know, we stood in line for a little bit. But yeah, now in our case, the Santa was free. So, and if you get in, this is when we lived in Las Vegas. And if you get in early enough, it's at this Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, yeah.
That you know, you can maybe not stand in lines or go at a certain time of the day.
Right.
So maybe even that in your strategy, like if you really is important to you and you, that is like a tradition to go sit with Santa, try to find ways to
make it work.
Make it simpler. Take the kids out of school early. I don't know, like something to make it a little bit less stressful.
Yeah.
Even if you want to hold on to that tradition, but you feel like, wow, this tradition is like really kind of stressful. Well, maybe it's just something you need to tweak in the tradition. So
no, it's very true.
Yes. Well, that's awesome. And hopefully I love the ornament thing. I'm totally going to do that. And the mattresses. So we just moved, as you know, to a, two bedroom apartment, which we absolutely love.
Yeah. It's very nice.
They are new apartments in the area, and, aesthetically they're beautiful. And my life has become so simple. So in Maryland here, like there's a lot of mowing the grass and things like that. And so I say that to say, because some of my listeners have followed me on Instagram and I haven't really shared that I moved. I was living in a house that we were renting and it was really quite big, had a lot of yard work. And in the season that we're in right now, that's just not something we want to take on. And so we didn't really think we would ever move into an apartment, but downsizing has been the greatest.
Yeah.
So I give that little backstory to say that because we're in a two bedroom and it's like everything is like really close quarters, I'm going to take the mattresses and I'm going to do that this year.
Yeah.
I think that's so great. Like, I don't know why. I'm never, usually it's just like lay the blankets down or grab your pillow or, but I think that is so fabulous. So that, the ornament and that, I'm definitely going to do this year.
Good.
Thanks to you.
Let me know how that
and
goes.
And again, so we're in my living room right now, which is, you know, here in my apartment. And so if you hear the dryer or the singing noise, that's like the washer and dryer ending. And then again, their little room is right there. So I can just grab their mattresses.
I mean, and we live in, like a townhome, like a row home.
Yeah,
and we drag the mattresses down the steps. But like I said, even that, I think for a kid to remember, oh, my, you know, my parents drag the mattresses like down the steps and
like,
just slide them down.
Like
right?
Have them sit on the mattress. You know,
it's a different memory
down the stairs on
like
the
completely home alone it and just
love that. Was that
those, you know, family sleepover night?
Yes, that's so great. That's really great.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to unpack a few things today here in the podcast, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. You know, we're going to be talking about different seasons of life that we're in, comparing working moms. Rachel is a working mom, and we're going to get into that. And then growing in your confidence of who you are and where you're at. And then knowing just what your purpose is and being faithful where you're at in the purpose that God has for you. And I think, too, and we'll get this probably at the end, too, but I feel like sometimes the purpose, like we just feel like, well, I haven't found my purpose because it isn't so grand and glorious.
Right.
It's, you know, folding the laundry or it's, you know, like basic, simple things. But if that's where God has you, then that's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that he's going to keep you there. But even that, there could be a greater purpose still, of course.
Right.
But he's developing you and your character and all those wonderful things to get you to, you know, something else that he has down the road for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, let's just talk about like the different seasons of life and, you know, just what season do you feel that you're in, Rachel, right now? that maybe our listeners can relate to?
Yeah, I feel, I don't know if it's a thing about being in your mid-30s, but I, when you said like just being confident with where you are, I feel like I have grown into this confidence. Yeah. I said, again, I don't know if that is a thing of maturity or if that's spiritual maturity or like I said, just being in my mid-30s now and caring less about what other people are thinking or even that wisdom in knowing you don't have to do everything so perfect or you don't have to force this plan to happen. I mean, the 20s can be really stressful. Like, you know, like you want to force this, you know, whether it's college and then you get married and it's like the growing a family and what you think you need to be doing. So that I can understand why, you know, 20s can be stressful for people. And then it's like you get into your 30s and it's just like, okay. And that's honestly, I feel like, even whether or not you've made your family or you've gotten married, I just feel like by the time you hit like 30, it's like, okay, this is who I am, you know, and this is, I'm going to go from here. Yeah. Right. So seasons of life. I mean, I think, parenting prior to my 3-year-old, I thought we had parenting like under control, right? Like we
asked, Eli's
so different. And, so we, like I said, there's that 6-year gap between the two of them. And when we, you know, had him and he was just a go with the flow kid. And then when we had Everly, it was like, whoa, like totally different personality.
She rocked your world.
Completely about her world. And I was like, oh, this is why people say parenting's hard, you know?
Yeah.
But so it's been fun because, like I said, we thought we had the parenting thing under control and we were like in like a good groove, like in that season of like, you know, young parents with a new child and we had it going. And then like Everly came and then it was like, you almost like restart, you know, like, okay, I have to rethink this whole parenting thing. I felt brand new at parenting because, you know, despite what some people believe, like everyone has a brain and everyone has a personality and everyone, you know, it's like you can't just make them do something that you think that they should do. So, but yeah, parent, I think the season of life I'm in right now is just like parenting 101, you know, like parenting different children.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can be tough, but, you have to learn different ways to be effective as a parent, but it's less, I feel like I'm less stressed. I think because I am more confident. I don't have the guilt I used to have being a working mom of young kids because when Eli was younger, I carried that guilt on my shoulder. Where now I feel like I'm more confident in my role as a working mom. And I realize that I don't have to do it on my own. My husband is my partner, and we work together at it. And my kids are okay.
Yeah.
Like, my kids are fine, you know?
Yeah,
like,
they are.
Where before it was always like, oh, I don't want to be a working mom. I want to stay home with my baby. But that's just not where God had us. And it was actually never, I think me and my husband really never talked about it. I think it was always assumed that I would work. Mm-hmm. And that's what we needed as a family. And I was okay with it. I grew up with a working mom.
Yeah.
And both my parents worked and they juggled different schedules to, you know, continue to put a roof over our head and food on the table. And I didn't feel like I was lacking anything. So being a working mom was not foreign to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still had that guilt and I saw other moms who got to stay home with their kids and I'm like, man, why can't we do that? Like, why can't we figure it out? Like, what's wrong with us?
Kind of where your comparison came in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it took a long time to really realize that comparison, you know, I don't know who said it, but that comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And that I was really spending a long time being bitter and not okay with where God had me in my family, and because I was so busy looking at other people and what, how their life, or how their life was going, and it's like, man, like how, you know, she can stay home with her kids, and you know, they're financially okay. It's like, how come we can't do that? And it's like, I don't know what's going on in their bank account. I don't, you know, it's like I think it's that. As you get older, that, like, I don't know if it's spiritual maturity or what, but you start to realize, like, it's not a Facebook world, you know, like you, it's not just about what people post and their pictures. It's like people are posting like their most beautiful pictures for that day, but they don't post the chaos that's happening. And I think throughout that, it's like,
but don't be fooled, because world out there, because people are going through deep, serious discouragement. And you know, I'm glad that they're not posting all of it, their laundry out on Facebook. And there are times to post maybe something in prayer or whatever, of course, because maybe a majority of your friends are Christians, and it's important that we gather together as Christians and pray. But but yeah, like, we all go through struggles. And so no, behind that beautiful picture is someone that has had probably some deep hurt. And some people just aren't going to share all that. And they might share some of it, but but yes, we can be, we can know that everybody is very much like what we are, you know, going through and struggles of life, because we will struggle in this life.
And
but we have the Lord, thankfully.
Absolutely. And I think, like I said, we're easy to, it's easy to look at someone else's life and think, you know, they have it all together, or, but it's like, really, they don't, you know, like, they really don't. And, you know, or if they do, they've worked at it, and it's, it's taken time, and, you know, nothing happens overnight.
Well, and even then, I mean, nobody's perfect, and we have to, everybody has weaknesses, and we have to grow through those. So they might have gotten something down, like, or God has really helped them and grown them in this area, and you're seeing them, you're seeing the fruit of that. You're seeing, okay, wow, they, like, they're really, this is huge in their life, and it's, like, working for them. But maybe it didn't, you know.
At one point,
several years ago. But they had to come to God with it, and they had to maybe get right with God with it, or whatever, and, or just really ask God to help them in their weakness. And maybe now what you see as a strength is because they, again, they had to really get God's help on that. And that's kind of a, another perspective or way of looking at someone that we think, oh, they have it all together. Because maybe they have this area together right now, but maybe this area God is still working on. I mean, he's, God is constantly, we're not a, we're always a work in progress. So,
And I think the more you look at other people's progress, and the more you compare, you're not working on your own, Like you're looking at them, and instead of, your focus is on like other people and what other people are doing, where God is really saying, like, worry about you and work on you
and His love.
And
for
I have
you.
Something different for you.
And His love for you, it is no less than the person that maybe has accomplished this in their life. So yes, absolutely. So, you know, I think it is important that we're not comparing, and that's so easy. We can fall into that trap. And especially like you talked about, like, seasons of life, like you're in the working mom season, and you're like looking at other moms like, man, like, you know, I wish I could stay home. And it, and you know, for me, like, there are other seasons that I go through, and the season that I'm in, that's where I'm comparing whatever I'm going through. And maybe mine isn't like working mom type thing. Maybe it's something else. And again, we're all having to be careful that we're not comparing what maybe we desire. But maybe that's not what God has for us right now. That doesn't mean that one day it won't happen, but just to be content and happy in the season that God has planted you in.
And I think contentment is so hard.
Like, oh my goodness.
I think contentment is a skill that you learn. But I think it's a discipline. It's not just something that happens. I think it's a discipline. I think it's something that you work on daily to be content with where God has you. And I think that is, I think that is something that I still daily work on. But I've gotten better with it. You know, it's like, okay, I, like I said, early on when, you know, my son was younger, I just was not content, and I was bitter, like, with where I was. But it's like, now it's like, okay, I'm going to be content with, like, this is where I am, and I'm a working mom, and this is where we live, and this is what we have, and this is what we do.
Spiritual maturity.
And there's a peace with that, Like, there's a peace that comes with just learning to be content in your situation.
And I think growing in your walk with the Lord helps you learn to be content, because you're finding your contentment not based on something.
Right, right.
But based on Jesus.
Right, yeah.
And really what he has to offer for us, and that's really what we need.
Right.
Is whatever he has to offer and
yeah.
Who he is, who we are in Christ, you know.
Right.
So I want to, you know, I know that you are a working mom, but that kind of, there's like a kind of where you are now.
Right.
Wasn't really where you wanted to be in the working world. So you are a working mom and you work at a private school. It's not a Christian school, but it's a private school. But that isn't really where you wanted to be.
Right. Or it's not where I thought,
or,
you know, at one point in time.
So maybe like unpack that for us. Like how like that has come about and then how it really has, you know, in a sense changed your life.
Yeah.
I mean, for the good, like for you can see God just, he worked all things out for him.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think the school I work at right now, I've been there for, I feel like I've been there for almost 15 years, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I worked there through college and then I ended up getting a full-time job there. So about 12 years ago or more, I started working like in an office type environment.
Okay.
And I was still able to use some of my education. I think that was a big thing for me, right? It's like I went to college and I want to use my college degree. And it doesn't always work out, I think, for a lot of people who end up going to college. And then they're like, oh, like, how do I apply this to the real world?
Yeah.
Or you don't come out of college making a bunch of money. Like, it's like you're starting over in a sense, you know, after you become, you're not a full-time student anymore. So I started working full-time. Again, it was something that me and my husband needed. We were getting ready to get married. And so I started working in an office type environment and able to use my degree a little bit. We did like educational testing for the applicants who were coming in, and I really took that job as a one-year position. Like I thought in my mind, this is like the one-year position I'm going to take, and then something else is going to happen, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go get my master's degree.
Yeah.
So 1 year turned into like 4 years, and then like a child later, right? I'm still there, still thankful. I fell in love with the people I worked with, and but still kind of in that same position where as an administrative assistant, and I just didn't feel like I was worthy. Like I felt like I was just like I wasn't doing something that other people saw was like noble, or I was like, man, what am I doing? Like I'm wasting my time. What am I doing? And at the same time, also being a mom of a little one, I was struggling with that contentment of wanting to be a stay-at-home mom, having to work to, you know, help provide for my family, but then not really liking what I was doing in a sense of feeling like it was purposeful. So I stuck it out again, just kind of feeling really stuck and being torn between my child and home and having to work. And an opportunity came to me, and I was so excited because I thought, this is exactly what I need. And it was an opportunity to help start a daycare. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is perfect because not only does it give me purpose, like I get to be like in charge of something, or I get to take what I've learned. My background is in like I did like an educational psychology track, and I thought, okay, like this will be great. I know a lot about child development. And while at the same time, my child was 2, and I was like, this is great. Like he can come to work with me, you know, like I can see my kid every day. And so I was so, and of course, like I was like, this is God. Like God is totally opening a door, and this is going to lead to great things. And I get to fulfill my purpose, and I get to be a mom, and then we can have more kids, you know, because that was another thing. My kid was 2, and I thought, okay, we want to grow our family. And it was hard to think about growing my family when I worked full time and we're juggling daycare. And, you know, this was God opening the door to all those things, right? And so it was going to take time, though, and there was a lot of things behind the scenes that had to happen. And so as we got going, I even took classes, and again, just thinking, this is God's will for my life. And I was totally prepared for it, and even like told my boss at work that, you know, this was the plan, this is my trajectory, like this is what's going to happen. And they were all excited for me. They wanted to see me grow and stuff. And so a year went by and there was kind of no progress. There was just some like, I don't know, red tape in certain areas that had to happen and, or we had to get through, and it wasn't, you know, anyone's fault. It's just the way it had to work. And so there was, you know, future plans for building, and I had to be patient. I had to wait. And I'm like, okay, like I can still be patient. I can still wait. Like it's fine. And so, I can, you know, I want to just be faithful. And so needless to say, it was a lot of waiting,
yeah.
A lot of waiting. And even in that waiting, seeing a lot of changes in other places that kind of made me feel like, oh, okay, well, maybe this isn't going to happen. Maybe this isn't going to come to fruition. Like, maybe I need to have a backup plan. And again, I think a lot of this, what's my plan? What's my plan? What's my plan? Yeah. And I can see now looking back where, like, I just, like, took over what God was maybe going to provide, you know, or maybe what God was doing in my life and other areas where he might have been saying, this isn't really what I want for you, or this isn't what's best, you know, for either side of the situation. And so years really at this point had went by, and again, just feeling stuck and feeling like worn out and burnt out in my position at work, and still wanting, like, kind of hanging on to what I thought God, like, had right in front of me as a plan. And then I think it was, like, I finally just let go of that. And I just came to a point where I was like, okay, you know what? God, you must have something else for me. And I'm going to trust that you have something else for me. And I want to say within, I don't know, maybe 2 months of kind of just really letting go of what I thought God had planned for me, I get this random phone call at work one day, and it is a supervisor from another office. And she's like, hey, you know, I don't know, so-and-so's leaving if you're interested in taking her position. And it was a position in a completely different office. It had nothing to do with education or whatever. It was in the business office. And I thought, I don't want to be in the business office. I would never be in the business office. And, just because, I mean, every, I don't know, when you work in a company, the different divisions have, like, or the different offices have different personalities almost. And I was a part of a group where we were just fun. And the business office is so business, serious. Right? It's so serious. And
they come across,
you know,
that way.
Yeah.
And it's all,
right. And so I was like, no, but it did come with a, it was a promotion. And it came with a sense of independence. And I was like, you know what? I felt so stuck where I was. And I was like, where I was comfortable. And I knew the job like the back of my hand. And this was something that was going to push me to not only be with different people, but to do something different and to learn something new. But I just thought, like, I felt this, like, peace about it. And at that time, I was in my previous position for 10 years. And I was like, or no, more than 10 years. Yeah, crazy, right? Like, crazy amount of time had went by. And I'm like, okay, like, this is really going to force me to step out of my comfort zone. But I felt God was saying, it's time to move. Like, it's time to move. And so God opened that door. Again, it was a promotion, you know, money-wise and even positionally, it was a promotion. And so I worked in there for about a year. And again, my that same supervisor who had recognized potential in me from before, I was now working with her one-on-one, and she came to me again and said, a person's leaving, and have you considered her position? And I said, no, like, there's, I don't feel like I'm qualified for that position. Like, are you kidding? Like, on paper, like, it was a human resources position. And I thought, I don't have, I have, like, a degree, again, that I haven't used in years, but I on paper, like, the description of this job, I don't think I would qualify for it. And she basically said, like, we see so much potential in you. Like, we're willing to create this job to fit you. And again, a step up, a promotion, financially for my family. And I just thought, like, how God, when I was willing to let go of what I thought he wanted me to do, how he was like, I'm going to take you to do something better, and to fulfill a purpose within myself that, you know, it's what I needed, I think, at the, you know, even like now, like just feeling more comfortable and content that it's like, okay, like God is growing me. He's pushing me. I'm learning new things and I feel more satisfied as my role or in my role as a working mom. That, you know, I think if I would have stayed, you know, where I was, or even if God had opened the door for what I thought he'd originally planned, I mean, I don't know how it would have worked out, but, you know, would I have been as happy? Would I have been as successful? Like, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right?
I think, though, if God is leading you there, yes, I think that you would be happy and, I mean, and
content.
I mean, and a lot of times, like we talked about before, contentment, we have to work at that. Even if we're in something that we enjoy doing, there's going to be things that are going to come up, even in those things that we find fulfillment in, or that we feel like this is where I should be. But you're still going to have days that you have to fight, you know, discontentment, because maybe you want to make something better, or you want to whatever, you know, in your area, and maybe you just have to be content with taking the time. And so, anyway, you get kind of what I'm saying with the whole, I think if God were to have led you to that, I think that it, because he led you, it would have been amazing. And that's, I think that's the thing, is we have to be open to where God wants to lead us. And, and like you said, you had to kind of come out of some comfortability. Or if that, is that a word?
You're looking at me funny too. Like comfortability.
Anyway, that's,
that's
my word. Hey, why not? Like to create words.
No, I get anyway, that,
but
right?
You know what I mean? Like we have to come out of our comfort zone sometimes in order for, you know, God to continue to put us where he wants us. But that sometimes takes that, you know, it takes faith.
The step of faith.
And like you said, you have the peace. But again, I think wherever God, you know, God will lead you. I think you will have that peace inside of you, even if that happened to have been the daycare. But again, that was not God's direction. And so where he led you has been, and you've seen like, wow, God, you have done far more than I could have ever expected.
And even using, and I think it's so neat too, like how he uses like the secular, like he uses people in the secular world, you know, where this person, like who's my supervisor, like years ago, I would have never wanted to work for her. And she knows this, right? Like she knows like I would have never wanted to work for her, like her certain reputation, but then like being able, but how really like she's not a Christian, but like how God used her to push me forward into a place where you know, almost to encourage me a little bit, where it's like, wow, like okay, like someone does see that I'm smart, you know, someone does appreciate like my work ethic, and and I think that speaks to being faithful, right? Like I did not, I got to a point where I did not like my job. Like I hated driving around the Beltway. I hated going to my job. I knew how to do it. It was comfortable. But yeah, it was like, I just lost my train of thought there.
You were saying you were enjoying your, going around the Beltway.
Not wanting to want to go. And then being able to, you know, now like my job. And it's like, okay, now I like my job. I like learning. I like growing. And finding out that I can, you know,
and
be successful within my job that at one point in time I felt like I had no purpose. I had no meaning. I was just filling a space where it's like now like I feel like I have a role. I have purpose. And I think that that helps to fulfill that need that I had as a working mom, that I had to feel like I was doing something with purpose. Where like I said before, that contentment was not there because I felt like, okay, I'm not really doing anything meaningful, but I have to do this. And, you know, where now I'm like, okay, like my, that's where it was. I was going to say staying faithful. I know, right? How that thought process just completely comes back around.
It's okay.
You know, just staying faithful to being, you know, I knew that I had to be a working mom. I knew God had me working because I had to help provide for my family, where, you know, I had to just stay faithful in a situation that I didn't like, and knowing and trusting that God had a bigger purpose for it. God had something waiting for me in his time, where I think a lot of us, I know me personally, I like to push things to happen in my time.
Yeah.
And God's just like, no, like you're going to wait. You're going to wait. You're going to wait. You're going to wait. Yeah. You're going to learn how to be patient. You're going to learn how to be content with what I've given you. And I feel like when I did let go and I was like, okay, God, you do whatever you want. The promotions happened.
Yeah.
I mean, like I had like 2 promotions in 18 months. And I think that doesn't just happen.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
it doesn't just happen.
I wanted to read this verse because my husband and I, you know, this is a verse that we do refer to, in situations in our own life is Proverbs 21:1. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the King James Version.
Right.
But it says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Right.
He, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So you had talked about how you didn't like your job and getting on the beltway.
Right.
And, you know, in that moment, it would have been like, I just want to be done. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But God has a way of taking our hearts and changing them even mm-hmm. to something we didn't like.
Right.
Or appreciate or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, even, and I think when we come to God and we say, God, I am struggling with being content.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows it. Number one,
right.
There's nothing we can hide from the Lord. But I think when we're just real with God and we humble ourselves and we say like, I'm having struggle being content, change my heart, you know, renew my mind and my
right.
soul and help me to be content. You know, I think that, you know, God can step in and he can just change. And sometimes
right.
he just steps in
right.
because he just loves us so much
right.
and can change our heart
right.
Towards different things.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, going back to the apartment thing, I think I would have been like totally against an apartment. Like you would have asked me maybe, I don't know, a year ago or even less than a year ago. And it was like God just put in my heart, like, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be good
right.
for us to simplify. And it has. We, like, love it so much
right.
now, right? But before, I would have been like, no,
right,
no.
Right,
know, like,
right.
very staunch. And God has a way of doing that to also, I think, take us down the path that he wants. And I think if our heart is soft and moldable and, you know, God knows our heart and we're willing to, you know, kind of surrender.
Right. I think surrender is a really big word.
And even if you're struggling with surrender, like tell the Lord that.
Right.
Because God knows your heart. I think God sees that you want to surrender, but again, we can't do anything without the Lord. We cannot
right.
surrender. We cannot be content. We cannot live this Christian life in our own strength.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be of the Lord.
Right.
And so, you know, just again, go to God with your desires, your discontentment, your unsurrendered will.
Right.
And don't be ashamed. Go to him, humble yourself, and, you know, ask the Lord, tell him that you're sorry, but help ask him for the strength.
Right.
Because I think that sometimes we're discontent and we have this bad spirit to us is
mm-hmm.
because we aren't seeking the Lord. We're
right.
kind of fleeing the Lord.
Right. Yeah. And I,
you know,
I, yeah.
and his wisdom, his help. He wants
right.
to help us.
Yeah. And I think too, like just being content with where God has you,
yeah.
And learning to be okay with it as opposed to being bitter towards it,
yeah.
you know, and like, okay, I recognize that this is where God has me, but I'm going to be bitter about it. And
yeah.
it's just like, bitter is never better,
yeah.
you know, like
it really is.
It's never going to
really
lead to better.
Hurting you.
Yeah. It's just hurting
you. And
I've
been there.
Yeah.
You
know,
before,
and it's like, ugh, like,
and you don't like how you feel or anything.
Right.
But again, you know, don't live in that guilt or that shame.
Mm-hmm.
Go to God and say, help me with this. I
right.
want to live in your will. I want to live in it surrendered.
Right.
And I want to be content
mm-hmm.
in wherever you have. And even though I feel, you know, when you're talking to God, I feel there's something else that you have for me, God.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to be content with what you've shown me right now.
Right.
Because when it's time, you will show me.
Right.
And, again, just taking all of your experience and all the things that God is doing in your life right now is preparing you. You know,
right, absolutely.
For for whatever he has in the future, down, you know, down the road and with your family. And so anyway, I love your story. It speaks to me so much. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I'm still asking God, like, what do you want for me, Lord?
Or I think we feel like our purpose, like you said earlier, like our purpose needs to be huge.
This grand and glorious,
you know, our
thing,
purpose needs to be meaningful. And it needs to be something that's recognized. And it's like understanding that your purpose is something that's so specific that God has for you. And it, you know, and I'm not even saying that mine is like career related. I think I've learned to, when I learned to let go of what I thought my plan was and I thought my purpose was, you know, God is showing me like, hey, I still have other plans for you and I'm going to take care of you, but your purpose is not wrapped up in that. You know, my purpose for you is to love others and to show people Christ. And, you know, my purpose is so personal that, you know, it's like, I don't need to be on, you know, speaking to 1,000 people, or I don't need to be, you know, some famous missionary, or, you know, you look at other
people. We just need to do what God has asked us to do right
for
now.
The day.
And for the
really,
day.
Like for
and
the
if
day.
He leads us to other things that we have desires for, that's great. But I think, every day, taking that day and saying, I'm content in this day and you will lead and guide me. And my husband is always praying, like every morning he prays that God would divinely position us.
Right.
And I think when you literally say to God, divinely position me, Lord, like it might take the worry and control.
Right.
Like you're like, okay, God, you will divinely position me. Or if I today literally stayed home and did 10 loads of laundry, shout out to my friend Heather Lefevers.
Oh gosh.
She's a woman. Like she's got a lot of kids. She was on the podcast before.
Yeah.
But like, seriously, I think of her like, and she has joy. And I'm sure like, you know, we've heard her testimony on here. I'm sure her days like are crazy, but she's finding her purpose in even that. Mm-hmm. And saying, okay, this is where God has me. And being content. It is. And that, like, that is a podcast in itself.
I know, right? Contentment.
Unpacking contentment and all that God says about that. But anyway, I think we will, these things and these truths that we have talked about today, I think are really great. And just you intertwining your stories into those, you know, seasons of life.
Mm-hmm.
And they change. The seasons of life are
they
constantly changing.
Yeah.
And we have to believe in the sovereignty of God, that he knows what he's doing, that when it is time for the change to happen, it will happen. So just be faithful in the day today, because we're not even... What the preachers say? We're not even promised
tomorrow. Yeah.
I mean, the preacher's the Bible.
Right.
You know what I'm trying to say? I'm thinking of a preacher that's saying it, but it's from the Bible. We're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
So why go into tomorrow? And that is for me, like every day.
Yeah. Like why worry about tomorrow?
And again, our significance and who we are is found in Christ.
Right.
Our identity is in him.
And not what other people are saying.
He loves us
about
unconditionally.
Us.
He is for us. And if we, you know, like the Bible says, give good things to our children.
Right.
How much more,
right?
Will God give the good things, and in his timing? Yeah. Why would we want it any sooner?
Right.
You know, because then it's just we're creating our own little mess, really, when we decide to take things in our hands. And I've been there, and I have felt where I'm like, okay, wait, I think I'm orchestrating this. I better stop, because this isn't. Yeah, this isn't going to be good if I'm orchestrating this.
Right.
So,
I think you told me something that I've and you might have heard it from another podcast or a sermon, but it stuck with me.
It has stuck with me.
And I've actually used it with other people where when you sow now I'm going to forget it. But basically, like, when you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you sow in the spirit, you're going to reap the spirit.
Yeah.
And if you're doing something, you're pushing it, then the fruits of that labor are going to be corruptible, yeah. right? They're going to be of the flesh, and or the reaping is going to be harder because you're forcing something, versus if you are sowing in the spirit and you're doing things that God wants you to do, those fruits are just going to naturally pop up, and they're going to be for his glory. And there's going to be the reaping of that's easier because he's doing it.
Yeah.
It's not you forcing it. And I think that that has been impactful to me. And I think, it's so true.
Yeah. Her name is Jenny. It's totally escaping me her last name. And I don't have it where I can access like, oh, that's her last name.
Right.
And if it comes to me, I'll give her a shout out. But her name is Jenny and she's a pastor's wife.
Okay.
And, her and her husband, I believe, started a church, and I had heard her on Facebook giving kind of little, call them little sermonettes or just like little words of encouragement.
Right.
And, it spoke to me and, yes, absolutely.
Right.
I mean,
it makes you kind of put under a microscope what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, am I sowing of the flesh? Am I forcing this? Am I trying to do, even if it's something good, am I trying to do something that really God doesn't really want me to do? I need to focus on his leading and do what he wants me to do in the moment for the day. And whatever fruits are coming of that will be for him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Rachel, this has been great. I've really enjoyed having you on the podcast, and I'm definitely going to have you back, of course.
Right, part two.
Part two on contentment.
I know, right.
But seriously, thank you so much for coming
and
sharing, your story about being a working mom and then what God has done through that, and just even getting you to that point to be like fully content and okay with who God has made you, his purpose, and all of that. And don't beat yourself up if you're listening to this podcast today. Don't beat yourself up if you're not where Rachel is and you don't feel content and you're like, go to God with it and he will help you with it. Because I don't want to leave on like, well, I'm not there yet. Well, God can get you there, but just go to him daily with it. And, every day we have to go to God, because even if we are better and being content, right? There's going to be another weakness. There's going to be something else. So we always need to go to God, because, he is our source of strength and help. So anyways, thank you so much again. If you have listened to this podcast, please feel free to share it with someone who needs encouragement. And if you haven't subscribed already, you can subscribe today. All right. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time on the I Can Relate podcast.